Okay, so we said that there were two more things that we needed to discuss before we wrap up the sugya. We're going to try to cover both inyanim today. And then tomorrow we're going to start the sugya of just what makes a kosher lulav, which is, I guess, less lamdish, but very important to know. You know, just how to look for a kosher lulav. So, you know, the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a little bit of lamdish spread in when we hit Ein Dichlei Etzel Mitzvos and everything. But for a couple of weeks, we're going to be able to focus on the kashrus of Dalad Minim and what makes various Dalad Minim kosher. But right now, we said there was one more Indian to deal with within the world of Mitzvos Lav Lehanus Nitnu, and then we wanted to get into Kitusei Mechtas Shiure. So the Indian to deal with within the world of Mitzvos Lav Lehanus Nitnu was when certain mitzvos have hana'a as part of the mitzvah. Now, just to be clear about what this means, the Gemara that we saw in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches said that if a person goes to the mikvah at a time that it's not gishmak to go to a mikvah, like if it's freezing cold outside, so then for sure we would say that's not called getting hana'a from the mikvah, because all you're getting is the pleasure of becoming spiritually pure, and a spiritual hana'a is not called a hana'a. Pash pshat of the Gemara, though, the Gemara says that if you go to a mikvah during the summertime, when it's really hot outside, and it's very gishmak to go to the mikvah, so that is called getting hana'a from the mikvah, because in addition to the spiritual gishmak of becoming pure, of becoming tahar, you also have a physical gishmak of being able to cool off in the cold waters during the summertime. That is the Gemara. Now, against that backdrop, there is a comment of the Taz. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon in Yoredeya Simon Reishchav Aleph Sif Yud Aleph. The actual comment of the Shulchan Aruch I don't have in the Mar Makamos, but the comment of the Taz we do. So the Shulchan Aruch writes Im Asar Sifro Al Chaveiro Asar LeNeesar Lilmod Bo. That if I took a neder hana'a that you're not allowed to get hana'a from my sefer, so you're not allowed to learn from that sefer. So what's the obvious kasha? If your isser is that you're not allowed to get hana'a from the sefer, learning is a mitzvah. Mitzvah's lovely, how does it new? Why should it be usser for you to learn from that sefer? Learning is only a mitzvah. The only hana that you're getting is a mitzvah. So shouldn't we say mitzvah's lovely, how does it new? That is the kasha that all the achronim deal with. Now, let's also point out that the Shulchan Aruch, just a couple of Sifim later, in Sif Yud Gimel writes, Hamudra Ana me shofar, mutra l'tkoa bo tkiya shal mitzvah, Hamudra Ana me mayan tovol tvila shal mitzvah yimosa gshama velo yimosa chama. Says over what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches. That if you take a neder that you're not allowed to get hana'a from a shofar, so someone, you are allowed to blow tekiah shel mitzvah. You are allowed to get the mitzvah of tekiah shofar with that shofar. So when you look at it in that way, you see like a clear contradiction between Sif Yud Aleph and Sif Yud Gimel. I take a neder that I'm not allowed to get hana'a from a sefer, and it's usur for me to learn from that sefer. I take a neder that I'm not allowed to get hana'a from a shofar, and I'm allowed to use the shofar for the mitzvah. So why the chiluk? Why should there be a difference between learning Torah, where that we say apparently is called hana'a, and blowing shofar, where we assume that that is not called hana'a? Presumably by neither of them do you have any physical hana'a. Neither of them are like going to the mikvah during the summertime, where you physically enjoy it. Both of those cases of the Torah and the shofar are spiritual hana'a cases. And yet, in one of them we say it's not called ana, the other one we say it is called ana. So what's the pshat? So says the Taz, and this is in Yomar Makamos, this is in source number 20, just like to read from the original. So says the Taz, Kein kasu b'tshuvas maimon, v'viyu beis Yosef, v'hu mitam shere'ein chiyuv ala adam lahashil sifra l'chavero shalol daito, k'mo she'ein chova alav litno. That you have no obligation to lend svarim to people. There's no requirement that you have to lend svarim to people. And the reason is, the more svarim get used, the more they get ruined. So when you lend your sefer to somebody else, it's not just that he's doing the mitzvah with it, it's that it's likely he's ruining it to some level. That's what Jeremy pointed out a few weeks ago, what the Shulchan Aruch says, that you're not allowed to borrow someone's sefer without permission, because out of the concern that a sefer will get, right, that a sefer will get ruined, the binding will come off, and you're going to ruin it. And since you have no requirement to lend a sefer to somebody if he needs it, and therefore, if he wants your sefer, you're allowed to say, well, I'm going to charge you for that. And that's totally fine. So when he goes and takes it, and there's a neder hana, he is getting hana. How's he getting hana? He's saving the money that he would otherwise have to pay to rent it. So that's called hana. The custom of Chuvus Maran, Shehiksha Meyahid Sif Yud Gimel, Hamudra Nami Shav Mutul Kot Kishal Mitzvah. So the Taz points out that the Chuvus Maran in Rutenberg is bothered by this stira that we pointed out between the shofar and the sefer. Now when it comes to the sefer, he's not allowed to learn from it. When it comes to the shofar, he is allowed to. So here's the key point of the Taz. He says, V'tama ani, de'in kan kushya. He says, I don't even see what the problem is. I don't see what the kasha is at all. It's explicit in the Chuvus Maimonios why it is that you don't have to lend a sefer, because it's going to get destroyed. This is not the Taz. It's in your Marmakomos. Yeah, you're looking at that. This is a different Taz. I'm going to read that Taz in a second also. My apologies for that. A lot of quizzical looks around the... Okay, I apologize for that. But says the Taz that... we'll get to that Taz in a second. That in Chuvus Maimon, it says the reason you don't lend a sefer is because it's going to get destroyed. As opposed to a shofar, Eino Meskalkel Kishazei Yitkabo. It's not going to be destroyed when someone blows from the shofar. So basically, the Taz in Sif Katan Mem, which is not in your Marmakomos, the Taz basically says, why is it that there's a difference between shofar and learning? It's because by shofar, if you lend the guy your shofar, it's not really that he's getting any hanah from, because you wouldn't be allowed to charge him anyway. He's not doing anything to make the shofar any less valuable, so it's not the kind of thing you would charge for anyhow. So you're not giving him any financial benefit. But when you lend the guy a sefer, the sefer you should normally charge for, because it's something that can get destroyed. So if I'm going to risk my sefer getting destroyed, I want to get paid for that. So since a sefer is something you can normally charge for, by him using it free of charge, it's called real hana, because he's using something that has monetary value. There's monetary value to using a sefer. That's how the Taz answers at first. But just a few if katans later, the Taz has a different approach, and this is the approach that I wanted to emphasize. On Si'if Yud Gimel, where it talks about the shofar, Taz points out, and this is the one that's in your Marmakom, Si'if Katan Mem Gimel and Taz, Baruch Hayim Yisim Tov Kuf Pei Vav Beis Yosef Kasa B'Shem HaKolbo. Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Kolbo, and we saw this Kolbo quoted in the Shara Melech, D'Davka Achar Yitkalo. If you have a neder that you're not allowed to get hana from a shofar, you can use that shofar to get the mitzvah, but only if someone else blows the shofar for you. You can't blow the shofar yourself. The one who's not allowed to get hana from the shofar may not blow the shofar himself. Why? Because a person sometimes does get a certain sense of physical, can't really say physical, but I guess not spiritual, emotional gratification from blowing the shofar. The way we described it is, I feel so big and strong because look, I can make big trumpet sounds come out of this little ram's horn. So you feel good about yourself. So it's not a spiritual hana, like I'm serving God kind of hana. It's like, look at me, I got lungs of steel kind of hana, which is hard to really exactly figure out what that means. But there's some level of hana when you're blowing the shofar that is beyond the spiritual hana of doing the mitzvah. So that you're not allowed to do. If you're not allowed to get enough from the shofar, you can't blow it yourself. But you can have someone else blow. Says the Taz, if that's correct, Vaday lo kashmei, he did sif yirel. Says now, we're totally fine with the learning Torah issue. Why is it that if someone is, he says now we have three dinim that we're comparing, not two dinim. Basically, it's as follows. We thought we had a kasha because we have one din that if I have a neder, I'm not allowed to get enough from a shofar. So we have one din. Don't worry, you can use the shofar for a mitzvah. Another din, a neder, I'm not allowed to get enough from a sefer. Better not learn from that sefer. So we thought that was a stira. Says the Taz, there's actually a third din. The first din could be split into two. The din that if I have a neder, I'm not allowed to get enough from a shofar, it's not so pashut, you could just use that shofar. Someone else can blow that shofar for you, because then there is zero hana'ah. There is zero hana'ah. All you have is mitzvah. But you cannot blow the shofar for yourself, because then not only do you have a spiritual hana'ah, a kima mitzvah, you also have a little bit of other kind of hana'ah. Emotional hana'ah, we'll call it. A little bit of some other kind of hana'ah. So now he says, based on that, I'm okay with the sefer issue. Why? He says, forget about the answer I gave you before, three sifkatans ago, about how the sefer can be destroyed, and that's why it's something of monetary value. Forget that. Even without that. He says, because when you learn Torah, aside from the fact that you're doing what God wants, you're also enjoying it. He says, you know, the case of the learning Torah is not similar to a case of someone else blowing shofar for you when you have a neder that you're not allowed to get an hanor from the shofar. It's similar to the case of you blowing the shofar for yourself when you're not allowed to get an hanor from the shofar. Why, when you blow the shofar for yourself, is it a problem? Is it aser? Because in addition to just the kiyum mitzvah, there's some gratification. So he says, when it comes to learning Torah, in addition to the kiyum mitzvah that you're serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's gratification. Torah is misameach leiv. He says, that's why shari aser l'mod bimei avel. That's why there's a din that avel's not allowed to learn Torah. It's not because he's not allowed to be mekayim mitzvos, avel's allowed to be mekayim mitzvos. But in addition to the kiyum mitzvah, which that is fine. The simcha you get from kiyum mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, for that you'd be allowed to learn Torah when you're an avel. You know what the raya is? It's enjoyable to learn hilchos avelus also, in the sense of kiyum mitzvah. I enjoy the fact that I'm doing a mitzvah, but that I'm allowed to do when I'm an avel. That I'm allowed to do on Tisha B'Av. It's when you get that extra simcha, that it's geshmak, that geshmak from the learning, of the that's beyond just the geshmak of a kiyum mitzvah, but it's that Torah is just fun. Torah is just enjoyable. It's just really geshmak. It's just really great. That is considered to be not just a hanav avodas Hashem, and that you're not allowed to do. That's when you have an isra hanav, that kind of hanav you're not allowed to get from something. Im kein lo dam yahai mitzvah, the shar mitzvahs. He says Torah is different than other mitzvahs. Darmin lavli hanos nitnu. Ela b'zeh nimshach hanav li adam. He says this is natural that a person does get hanav from Torah. Not just the spiritual hana of doing the will of God, but there's a natural hana, a natural enjoyment that one gets from Torah. Why does he need the kolbo for this? Why didn't he just use the case of Mayan that you see in the Mayan that there's hana from the spring, from going in the mikvah during the summertime, and you see that that's called hana? See, because that was different. What's the difference? That kind of hana was a physical hana. That's pashut that's going to be a problem. What the Kolbo introduced us to by the case of blowing shofar for yourself is that even if you don't physically get hana'ah from blowing shofar for yourself, it's an emotional hana'ah. That emotional hana'ah is also called hana'ah in regards to an isra hana'ah. If you have an isra to get hana'ah from something, when you derive emotional hana'ah from it, that's included in the isra. So using that Kolbo by Talmud Torah, there's not only the spiritual hana'ah, so there are three kinds of hana'ah. There's spiritual, physical, and emotional. So davar pashut, that spiritual hana is not called hana. That's why mitzvahs lavli hanos nitnu. Davar pashut, that physical hana is called hana. That's why if you dip in the cold springs in the summertime, it's a problem, even though you're doing a mitzvah. What we're focused on in Talmud Torah over here, and what the kolbo is mechadish to us with the shofar, is that emotional hana is also called hana, and is therefore going to be usher for you to do with Isurei Hana'ah. So if the shofar is usher you by now, you're not allowed to get emotional Hana'ah, and Torah by definition gives you emotional Hana'ah. Ve'in la'akshos imkein lama mutu l'lamdo medrash k'disa b'sif beis ha'yesh lo simcha mizeh. He says, but wait a second. If I'm going to give you this chiddush about the way Torah works, that Torah gives you an emotional Hana'ah, he says, if you look back in Simon Reish Kaf Aleph, in the same Simon Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch writes like this. Yeah, again, it's not in the Marmar Kolmos, so I'll just read you what he says. Hamudar ana mechaveru. A person is not allowed to get ana from his friend. Yachol lefroa chovo. You're allowed to pay up his debts. Vafilu ha'ilo mashkum yad malva. Parza b'shulog. Let's leave that out. V'yachol lozun es ishto ubana v'avadav. You're allowed to feed his family for him. I'm not allowed to get ana from you, but you're allowed to feed my family for me. Aval asu lazonus behemto ben tmei ben tari, but you're not allowed to feed my animals. Va'asu lelamdo mikra, you're not allowed to teach me mikra, kiven shemutu litol schar aleha, because I have a requirement to pay somebody to teach me mikra. You're allowed to charge to be a teacher of mikra. Halach is you're not allowed to charge to be a teacher of Torah Shabbat. It has to be ma'ani b'chinam afata b'chinam b'gemara darshins. That just like Kodesh Baruch Hu does it for free, so too a teacher has to do it for free. To teach Torah has to do it for free. So obviously the bikasha is, then everyone who's thinking about going into chinuch, just cross it off the list, because you can't, how does a person make a living in chinuch? it's kasha anyway how a person makes a living in chinuch. But if you can't take a salary, then how do you make a living in chinuch? Okay, so there are a lot of terutzim. Either eslas lashem efer Torah sech, that's the only way that Torah is going to continue, so we make exceptions to the rule, or the payment is not, it's schar batala, and that's why teachers get paid poorly, or it's really schar of entertainment. When I don't just teach you Torah, I entertain you for an hour every day. Not really, but in high school I do at least. So you get payment for being an entertaining person, not for the Torah that you're teaching. But outside of Mikra, you're not allowed to get payment for teaching Torah. So says the Shulchan Aruch, if you're not allowed to get Hana'ah from somebody, you're not allowed to have that person teach you Mikra, because that he can get paid for. But you can have him teach you Medrash, because that he's got to do for free anyway. So he's not giving you any tangible Hana'ah. So what's the Taz's Kasha going to be? Wait a second. He's not giving you physical Hana'ah, monetary Hana'ah. We'll put monetary together with physical. He's not giving you monetary Hana'ah because he's not saving you any money. He's got to teach it for free anyway. But what kind of Hana'ah is he giving you, says the Taz? He's giving you emotional Hana'ah. Medrash is going to make you happy. Medrash to Shmak. So according to what I'm saying, says the Taz, that when you're not allowed to get Hana'ah from somebody, you're not even allowed to get emotional Hana'ah. How are you allowed to have him teach you Medrash? Aren't you getting emotional enough? So he says, Yeshlomo da'asam achiv alav lumod imo mukach ma'ani b'chinam al kem lo ichbat lan b'hana'a ma she'en kem b'she'el svarim she'en alav chiv. So the Taz makes a chiluk. He says, when the person had a previous obligation to provide you with that service anyway, then we're not going to worry about the emotional enough you get from it. This person, before he became my teacher, had a chiv to teach me had I asked him anyway. If he knows Medrash and I don't, and I ask him to teach it to me, he has to teach it to me for free. He has a chiv to teach it to me for free. He has time, and I ask him, he's got to teach it to me. So now that I take a neder that I'm not going to get hana'ah from him, that chiv doesn't go away just because I'm going to get some emotional hana'ah out of it. But when it's something that he doesn't have to do anyway, like lending me a sefer, so then we're going to pay more attention to the emotional hana'ah. Basically what the Taz is doing is he's saying, let's go back to our three categories. Physical slash monetary hana'ah, that's for sure called hana'ah. And if I have an issur to get hana'ah from somebody, I'm not allowed to get physical slash monetary hana'ah from the person. We then had spiritual hana'ah, for sure not called hana'ah. That's why I'm allowed to have the person blow the shofar for me, even though I'm not allowed to get hana'ah from him or from the shofar or whatever, that's fine, you can blow the shofar for me. So the Taz originally said, but what about emotional hana'ah? He said, emotional hana'ah is also called hana'ah. So we thought what the Taz was doing was he's saying emotional hana'ah is the same as physical slash monetary hana'ah. That's not what he's doing though. What he's saying is that there's a third category called emotional hana'ah, which under certain circumstances is treated as hana'ah, and under other circumstances is not treated as hana'ah. If it's a case where the person would have had to do it for me anyway, we're not going to treat it as hana'ah. If it's a case where the person would not have had to do it for me anyway, we will treat it as hana'ah. That's how the Taz is being mechalik. It's very dakistic in terms of the chilukim. He's making chilukim al gabei chilukim. But what you do see from that Taz very clearly is that he assumes that on some level, mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu does not apply to Talmud Torah. That when it comes to Talmud Torah, it is lehanas nitnu. And it is called hana'ah. The Taz, you know, he limits it on a certain level based on what the person is chayv to or not chayv to do for me. But at least on some level, mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu is a rule that won't apply to Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is lehanas nitnu. Talmud Torah is something we are supposed to get hana'ah from. The reason that's interesting in general, the sugya of mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu, but the formulation of that idea was probably never more clearly formulated than by the Egle Tal in his Hakdama. The Egle Tal is a sefer written by the author of the Avni Nezer, the Sakachavar Gaon, the son-in-law of the Kutzker, the father of the Shemi Shmuel. So while the Kutzker wrote Chasidus, and the Shemi Shmuel wrote Chasidus, the Sakachavar, the Avni Nezer, who was in between them, wrote Lamdus. Everything he wrote was pure Lamdus. He probably was a master of Chasidus also, because we know that because every line in the Shemi Shmuel is, I heard from my father. So, basically the entire Shemi Shmuel, he heard from his father. So he must have, the Sakachavar must have been a master of Chasidus as well, but his Svarim were all in Lamdus. In fact, I think the only way we know that the Kutzker was a Lamdin was because the Avnei Nezer says so. meaning the Kutzker. You ever hear a lumdish of art from the Kutzker? You hear sharp Hasidic Tyrus from the Kutzker, no? You never hear in a shir. The Kutzker holds it Sveidinim like this, and that explains the Rambam and the Rambam. You don't hear like that from the Kutzker. But the Avni Nezer says, I never really knew how to learn until I met the Kutzker, and he really taught me how to learn. So from the Avni Nezer saying that, such an Eidus, he writes in Akdamit, Biag Beital. So such an Eidus for about the Kutzker. That's how we know the Kutzker was a big Lamdan too. So anyway, that's always an issue. Sometimes you have Talmidei Chacham who are experts in several areas, and people only appreciate one side of them. They think the other side doesn't exist. Rav Shachter always says about the Rav. He says, "I'm sure the Rav was a great philosopher, but I have no idea because I didn't see that side of him. I don't care. You know, it wasn't something that spoke to me. His Lamda spoke to me. The other side, unfortunately, has Talmidim who only see the philosophy side of him, never saw the Lamdas." But okay. The Hakdamah to the Eglei Tal is probably one of the most, I don't know, top five famous Hakdamos ever written. If you ever really want to, it happens to have some beautiful lumdas in it also. But the Hakdamah to the Eglei Tal, he drives home this point of what Talmud Torah is supposed to be like. What Talmud Torah is supposed to feel like. It's like a Musar Vart. He says, Midei Davri, in source number 21, Zachar Eskar Masha Shemati Kitas Bnei Adam Toin Midarech HaSeich Toin. He says, I've seen a lot of people make a terrible mistake about how Torah is supposed to be learned. He says, if you see people enjoy, people think that if you enjoy learning too much, and you mechadish chidushim, and you have a real geshmak in your learning, that's not so lishma, because you're enjoying it. You're not doing it, you know, for the sake of Hashem, you're doing it because you love it. As opposed to, you know what a higher level of Talmud Torah is? Just learn. Just go straight. Word after word after word. Don't think about Chidushim. Don't try to enjoy it. Just get it. Just go and don't have too much of a geshmak. You know, if you're enjoying it too much, pinch yourself or something. I don't know. But you can't enjoy it too much. Because if you enjoy it too much, that's not Torah Lishma. If you enjoy it, then there's a shalol lishma element because you're doing it for yourself. You're not serving God. He says, I can't tell you what a mistake this is. That's what Torah is. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to enjoy the Torah. It's to feel a geshmak in the Torah. How do you think you make a Torah part of you? Torah doesn't become part of you if you feel like you're forced into it. If it's like something that you can't have any personal gratification out of. If you feel intellectually stimulated, you feel like this is great. That's how it becomes part of you. The hana is what attaches you to the Torah. He says, look, I will be moda that if you learn only for the intellectual enjoyment and not because there's a mitzvah and you're not interested in the mitzvah at all, I'm moda, that's called shalom l'shma. But if what makes you sit down and learn is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do it, and then once you're doing it, you're enjoying it, that's the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's the highest form of Talmud Torah. It's not less shalol lishma, it's more lishma. And that's the Avnei Nezer. Now, if that's the case, how does that relate to the Taz? Because what the Avnei Nezer is saying, what the Eglei Tal is saying, is that part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only the hana'a of serving God, part and parcel of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the emotional hana'a of loving Torah. That's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's what led the Taz to say that you can't say mitzvahs lovely honest by Talmud Torah. Now, yeah, good question. So the question then becomes, does this apply to other mitzvahs also? Is it dafka did in Talmud Torah that because Talmud Torah connected kula and whatever, that Talmud Torah has to be, you know, like when Chaim Velazhen writes, Talmud Torah l'shma doesn't mean that you're doing l'shem Hashem. It means you're doing l'shem Torah because you just love Torah so much. That's what Talmud Torah l'shma means. So is that only a din in Talmud Torah? What about other mitzvahs that I might enjoy? Would you say mitzvahs lav lehanas dinu an achilas matzah? Let's say I like matzah. So that's a physical hana. So that's even stronger. So maybe if you're not going to say mitzvahs lav lehanas dinu an Talmud Torah, you for sure shouldn't say an achilas matzah because you actually enjoy eating the matzah. So there is a tshuva from the Yonah Gantav where he discusses yeshiva b'sukkah. Let's say you're sitting in a sukkah that's made out of Yisurei Hana'a. Would you say that's not called getting Hana'a from the Yisurei Hana'a? Because Mitzvah's Lavei Adasidri. The Shaili was asked, Sukkah shesicha b'schach shal Yisurei Hana'a, kamo Atzei Asherah, o kashin shal Kilei HaKerem, Madino. The schach is made out of Atzei Asherah, or is made out of Kilei HaKerem, which is Asher Ba'na'a. Is that called that you're getting Hana'a when you do the Mitzvah of Sukkah? So he says, on the one hand, you would say mitzvah lav le'amasitnu. On the other hand, he says, but it's a physical hana. You're enjoying the shade of the sukkah. And shouldn't that be like dipping into the mikvah in the summer months where you're enjoying it, where you can't apply mitzvah lav le'amasitnu, you're getting a physical hana. And no one's going to argue that the schach doesn't give you shade. Of course it gives you shade. And when you're out in the sun, you schwitz a lot and it's uncomfortable, and the schach makes it more comfortable. So there is a definite physical benefit. So pashup shat should be an open and shut case. That this is exactly the case in the Mayan. It's exactly the case of going into the cold springs in the summertime, where it should be absolutely aser. So no, why isn't that an open and shut case?
Well, schach is not actually giving you
hana.
It's the lack of sun, which is the hana. It's also like
the hana is not happening to pay.
Right. Right. So even that's called Hana. Right. Okay, that's a good point. Even that's called Hana. So the Oneg Yantif has a different chilek. If you look in the third paragraph of the Oneg Yantif, paragraph starts with Anias Daiti. I'm not going to read the whole paragraph, but take a look. Anias Daiti. Degam besukah amrinu mitzvah slav lehanasin. Alfagav dika hana yeshiva. He says, you know what? Of course you get Hana from living in the sukkah, but still we're going to say mitzvah slav lehanasin. That's not called Hana. There's physical Hana. Even though generally, if there's any physical hana, we would never say mitzvah slav le'anasinu. Haynu hechata mitzvah hu inyan b'fnei atzma, v'ha-hana'a hu inyan b'fnei atzma. That's only if the mitzvah and the hana'a happen to meet in the same room at the same time, but they're not really related to each other. Meaning, when I go to the mikvah, if I enjoy it, that's nice, but part of the mitzvah is not to enjoy the mikvah, it's just to be in the mikvah. The fact that I enjoy it happens to be because it's a hot summer day and it's a cold mikvah. That's the only reason I enjoy it. But it's not that the mitzvah is to enjoy the mikvah. The mitzvah is to go to the mikvah. Kamo tevila da mitzvah hu biyasa b'mayim manah hu davar b'fnei atzmo. Ve'ein la mitzvah shaychus manah. The mitzvah and manah don't really connect to each other. Rak she'inu yachal laharfir anah min ha-mitzvah b'imosecham. It's just that you can't separate them in the summertime. You're going to get both. You're going to get the mitzvah and you're going to get the hana in the summertime. That's when we're going to say that the physical hana'a is called a real hana'a, and if that mayan that you're dipping in is asur b'hana'a to you, you're not allowed to dip in that mayan. V'chein b'hana'as tashmishcha alai, ein kiyum mitzvahs ona shaychus hana'a, rak she'yershav lahafer hana'a min ha-mitzvah. Similarly, if you take a neder against your wife that I'm not allowed to get any hana'a from tashmish with you, so the kiyum mitzvahs ona is not really directly linked to the hana'a. It's just that every time you're going to do the mitzvah of Ona, there will by definition be Hana'a there. But the mitzvah of Ona is not to get Hana'a, the mitzvah of Ona is to provide the wife with Tashmish. V'kolki agav nalo amrin the mitzvah of Le'anus Ninu. D'nihidlo ichbolan b'nash nena mikiyum ha-mitzvah, mikol makom taharovus ha-nashi yishpai maisa l'heichan azal v'asar. Granted, the spiritual Hana'a of doing the mitzvah doesn't count as Hana'a, but what are you going to do about the physical hana? That's not part of the mitzvah. So that should count. However, aval mitzvah sukkah, and here's the chiddush, she'ikr yisod ha-mitzvah hu al ha-hana'a. What is the mitzvah of sukkah? The mitzvah of sukkah is to be nene from the sukkah. Shatora amrat seimi diras keva v'shem v'diras arai. Dahainu shashima sha'adam yesh lo v'beso kol hashana. Whatever you use your house for all year, dahainu yeshiva, which means living, you should now use your sukkah for during this week. That's why we have so many people who are patur from sukkah, etc. V'im yasha b'sukkah lo kiyam mitzvah klal, mishum de ikra mitzvah leishe b'sukkah b'makom bayis. If you sit in a sukkah when you're a mitzta'er, you're not mekayim the mitzvah, because you're not getting hanah from it. You're not using it the way you would use a house. U'mishish leiz esiba shemishvila lo ayoshev b'bayis, ein kan mitzvah sukkah, de ikra mitzvah sheyesu kasu t'moros beis. So the mitzvah of sukkah is to treat your sukkah like your house. Im kain, kivan the yisoda mitzvah hu al ha-hana'as ha-yeshiva, since the mitzvah is the hana'ah of sitting in sukkah, v'kivan the kaimelon mitzvah zol v'hana'as nitnu, and since we pass in that hana'ah that's bound up, that's tied up to a mitzvah, is not called hana'ah, lo ichpat lan v'hana'as ha-yeshiva di'ispa. So the pleasure that you get from sitting in the sukkah doesn't bother us. It doesn't mean anything. It's not called hana'ah, because that's hana'as ha-mitzvah. I think what he's saying is a drastic departure from the way we've understood mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu until now. The way that we've shown him, that we've seen, the Ritva, Rashi, the way they seem to explain mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu is that spiritual hana'ah isn't called hana'ah. Physical hana'ah is called hana'ah. If that's your definition over here, then when you sit in sukkah, I don't care whether it's part of the mitzvah or not. If you're actually physically benefiting by having schach over your head, saving you from the sun, by that definition, it should be called hana'ah. It should still be called hana'ah. It's still physical. So he's obviously defining mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu in a completely different way. It's not that spiritual hana'ah is technically not defined as hana'ah. That's not the vart, according to the Onig Yontif. What's the vart? What does mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu mean? So what it must mean, according to the Onig Yontif, you want to suggest? What it must mean, according to the Onig Yontif, is that when something becomes asur b'hana'ah to you, it can't lock off the possibility of doing mitzvahs. That anything that's part of a mitzvah, the primary focus of that mitzvah is the kiyum a mitzvah. And even if there are all sorts of hana'ahs tied up with that kiyum a mitzvah, it's not going to be called hana'ah because it's swallowed up by the kiyum a mitzvah. Mitzvah lav lehanas nitnu means the kiyum mitzvah overwhelms any hana'ah that's associated with it. So it's not even that spiritual hana'ah is not hana'ah. Spiritual hana'ah might be hana'ah. But the kiyum mitzvah, and this might be what Rashi meant when he said, Avodah Sevet L'Rabbah, the kiyum mitzvah completely overwhelms whatever hana'ah you might be getting. And therefore that hana'ah can be ignored. It is called hana'ah, but it can be ignored. When the hana'ah is unrelated to the mitzvah, like you go into the mikvah, so then the hana'ah is not swallowed up by the kiyum mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah doesn't touch that hana'ah. They're unrelated. I happen to be enjoying the cool waters of the mikvah. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. You happen to enjoy the mitzvah sona. It's got nothing to do with the mitzvah, though. The enjoyment has nothing to do with the mitzvah. But when the mitzvah is to enjoy, says the Onig Yontif, when the mitzvah is to enjoy, like by sukkah, the kiyum mitzvah overwhelms the fact that you're getting hana'ah. And we're able to ignore that hana'ah, no matter what kind of hana'ah it is. Mitzvah has nothing to do with the chiluk between spiritual and physical hana'ah. Both spiritual and physical hana'ah are really hana'ah, be'emes. They really count as hana'ah. They really are. It's just that the kiyum mitzvah is like mevatel the hana'ah. It's like batel b'shishim. You know, when you think about this ma'isa that I'm doing the kiyum mitzvah. The fact that there's hana'ah there is completely batal mevutal to the fact that there's kiyum mitzvah.
So therefore, when you have an iser hana'ah, the kiyum overpowers whatever
What did you just do? You just did a kiyum mitzvah. You didn't get hana'ah, even though in reality you got hana'ah. But we don't view that hana'ah as meaningful because it comes together with the kiyum mitzvah, which is so much more of the focus.
So it's like an asid holosasek. Kind of like has a function. It's like anti dohalos, I say that you have a kiyum mitzvah and there's also somewhat hana'ah, but because the hana'ah there, which is essentially the iser. So since the kiyum overpowers.
Right. It's not really a seidel chalose, but it's like that kind of svara, where it's not that we deny that there's hana'a, or that even this kind of hana'a is halachically called hana'a. It's just that the hana'a is swallowed up by the kiyum, that the kiyum overwhelms the hana'a. So it is kind of like an seidel chalose kind of svara. It's just that it's not actually a seidel chalose.
So it's as if there's no hana'a.
Right. Yeah.
So why doesn't it? Why does it have to put it on the sukkah? It seems like any case, if there's a kamitzah involved, there would be docha any type of hana. Meaning hana wouldn't exist in
only if the only if the hana is part of the mitzvah. If the hana is part of the definition of how to do the mitzvah. Meaning
you can't separate the hana from the mitzvah if it's not.
Not just that it can be separated, because a hana's tashrish probably can't be separated from the mitzvah zone either. It can't be separated, but they are separate in halacha. Because the halacha is not to get hana. If a person is, I don't know, for some reason he doesn't enjoy tashmish. Let's say he has a sore on that part of his body or something, so it's painful for him, so he doesn't enjoy it. Or I don't know, he's homosexual or something. So he doesn't enjoy it for whatever reason, right? So when he goes and he does have the tashmish, right, that the kiyum mitzvah is still there. He doesn't. It's not any less of a mitzvah. But if you sit in sukkah without enjoying it, like it's raining or you're sick, you're not getting the mitzvah. The mitzvah is dafka to enjoy it. Use it like a house in an enjoyable way.
If you're neutral on sukkah, do you get a kiyum mitzvah? And you're fine with being outside, you're fine with being inside. You're not mitzdayer.
Yeah, that's a good point. Meaning, I guess he's assuming that shelter by definition is going to be hana unless you're mitzdayer.
Like if you prefer your house, but...
No. It wouldn't be your house or sukkah. Sukkah is your house now. It would be outside your sukkah.
Right, okay.
Right, let's say it's a cloudy day, so the sun's not beating down on you so much,
right,
anyway.
It doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah, but the sukkah gives privacy, whatever a house gives at that time, the sukkah gives at that time. So he's going to assume that the sukkah is always giving hana. That if it's not giving hana, then it's not, then it has a din of its tzar, or halachadrachim, or whatever. And whenever a normal person would be there, would be in your house, that's when you need to be in the sukkah. Say, inachnami, if you'd rather be outside, so then don't go to the sukkah. It's like halachadrachim. So what would this mean about Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah also, right, according to the Eglei Tal, part of the Kiyum HaMitzvah is the Hana. That's, you're supposed to enjoy the Talmud Torah. It's inseparable. It's a greater Kiyum HaMitzvah according to the Eglei Tal. It's not just incidental. It's a great, the more you enjoy it, the better the Kiyum HaMitzvah is. So it's a little different than Sukkah in that if I learn Torah and I don't enjoy it, do I get the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Is it a key mitzvah of Talmud Torah if I don't turn it or enjoy it? Right? Of course it is. I hope so. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot of Talmud Torah that's done that, you know, isn't Talmud Torah then. Like, sometimes you have to force yourself to learn it, even if you don't enjoy it. So that, in that way, it's different than Sukkah. It's not so pashut to just plug Talmud Torah into what the Onei Gantav is saying. Because the Onei Gantav said what's unique about Sukkah is that the Hana is part of the mitzvah in that if you're not getting the Hana, then by definition you're not doing the mitzvah. By Talmud Torah, if you're not getting that now, you're still doing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And so it's a little bit different. To, you know, the Onei Gantav makes you think of the Eglei Tal doesn't necessarily mean that it's exactly the same as the Eglei Tal. Okay. Based on this, the Onei Gantav goes one step further. In the paragraph beginning, Ubezei Yishavnu, he says, based on this, I can answer a kash of the Rashba. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Chaf Dalet says that you're not allowed to use oil that's tevel tamei, untithed oil that's tamei, on a weekday, and of course you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos either. The Rashba asks, what do you mean, of course you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos either? For Shabbos, for the sake of Neiru Shabbos. There's no extra Isra on Shabbos more than a weekday. The Isra is that you're not allowed to get Hana'a Shel Kiloi from Tevel. What does Hana'a Shel Kiloi mean? Not just that you're enjoying it, but that you're enjoying it in a way where you are rooting it, where you're destroying it, where you're using it. Like for instance, let's say I enjoy looking at Tevel fruits. That's mutter for me to do. I'm allowed to look at Tevel fruits. Some people like to look at fruits. I don't know, for every reason. They make paintings of fruit, so people must like to look at fruits if they paint fruit. So for whatever reason, I like to look at fruits. So that's not called getting hana'a. That hana'a is mutter with tevel. But hana'a shel kiloi, let's say I like to juggle fruit. Right? So that's mutter. because I'm not using it up. It would still be usable afterwards. But a nashal kiloi, like using it as oil to light a candle with, that's going to be awesome. So, what's the extra chiddush? I can't use it during the week, and you can't even use it for Neir Shabbos. What extra isser is there with Neir Shabbos? Asked the Rashba. Why does it say ve'in sarf lomar the Shabbos? So says the Onig Yontif of the Devarenu Asi Shapir. He says based on what I'm saying, it works out really well. To be Shabbos, I'm sorry, I skipped a step over here. The Onig Yontif says this whole vart about the Hana'a, about Sukkah being part of the definition of the mitzvah is the Hana'a, and therefore we're not going to apply mitzvah's lovely honest nitnu, is only where the Ikra mitzvah is not for the sake of the person's enjoyment. God didn't tell you to go to Sukkah because he wants you to enjoy yourself. It's just that the nature of the mitzvah, the way to be mekayim the mitzvah, is to use a Sukkah the way you would use a house to enjoy yourself. But the reason Hashem gave us that mitzvah is not to enjoy ourselves. It's not for the sake of getting another. You know what? How I know that? Because I could have stayed in my house and gotten the same ana. Right? The ana that I'm getting from Sukkah is defined as the same ana I'm getting in my house. So God didn't make this mitzvah of Sukkah to go and enjoy yourself. Ner Shabbos, why did Hashem make the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, or whoever made the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? It's to use it, to enjoy the Ner Shabbos. So he says, when it comes to mitzvah, that the ikr kavanasa hu hanasa adam, kimo adlak is Ner B'Shabbos, where the primary mitzvah is the hana'a, that's what Hashem wants you to do, like by Ner Shabbos, then for sure we wouldn't say mitzvah slavli, honestly. Then for sure we would say that if you have an isra hana'a, you are not allowed to use those candles. Right, if you have an isra hana'a from those candles, you're not allowed to use those candles. You can't say, oh, it's only a mitzvah. No, because the mitzvah is to get hana'a. So when the mitzvah is to get hana'a, and that's the whole purpose of the mitzvah, then we wouldn't say mitzvah lovely honest. And he says, now based on that, I can answer the Rashba's kasha. The Rashba asked, why does it tell me I'm not allowed to use tevel tamei to light during the week? Vein tzarech lomar Shabbos. Of course I'm not allowed to use it for Neir Shabbos. What do you mean? It's the same mitzvah during the week as it is with Neir Shabbos. So says the Onig Yontif, no, it's not. By Shabbos, there's the additional element of mitzvah ba'avera. You mekayim the mitzvah of Elokos Neros Shabbos with the Isser Hana Shel Kiloi, Tevel, the Isser Hana of destroying Tevel. So there's two Isser. Number one, the fact that you're getting Hana'a from Tevel, Hana Shel Kiloi from Tevel, which that applies during the week also, but then also that you're not being mekayim the mitzvah Neros Shabbos. You're not being mekayim the mitzvah Shabbos where you're supposed to, because it's a mitzvah b'avera. So that's the Ein Sarach Lomar Shabbos, that there's two chisronos of the year, as opposed to during the week where there's only one chisaron. So the Onig Yontif presents us with a fairly complicated picture of mitzvah lav le'anos nitnu. Because apparently, we do say mitzvah lav le'anos nitnu on physical hana'a, if the physical hana'a is part of the definition of how to be mekayim the mitzvah. But we do not say mitzvah slav le'anos nitnu if the physical ana is either separate from the mitzvah, like by the mikvah, or the physical ana is the definition of the mitzvah. So it's weird, because it turns out mitzvah slav le'anos nitnu only applies when the physical ana's relationship to the mitzvah is like a middling relationship. It's the way to do the mitzvah, but it's not the reason for the mitzvah. If the relationship between the physical ana and the mitzvah is too strong, meaning that the mitzvah is for the sake of ana, or the relationship between the ana and the mitzvah is too weak, meaning that the ana is just incidental to the mitzvah, like by going to the mikvah, in those cases we don't say mitzvah's not the honesty. So it's weird. You would think that on one extreme, maybe we would cut the line over here. We're saying that in the middle is where we'll say mitzvah le'anos nitnu. But if the hana is too connected to the mitzvah or too disconnected from the mitzvah, then we don't say mitzvah le'anos nitnu. That's the way the Onig Yontif is setting it up. Okay, I think that will conclude our discussion of mitzvah le'anos nitnu. We'll begin our discussion now of kiddushin after shiur. Should I take a vote if we should do a tamei halacha now? Take a vote. I'm not going to stay after Mincha because I have to run out. I have to go to Manhattan today. Is there preference for us to stop Gemara now, do Tamei Halacha now, or continue Gemara now? All those who are in favor of... You don't have to look at other people, really. Whatever you want, it's okay. All those who are in favor of doing Tamei Halacha right now, raise your hand. So, Jeremy, it's up, right? Okay. And I think that's by definition a... Now you want to be on the winning team?
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Okay, so I guess we'll stop there. We'll do Kitzim Akhtashir tomorrow, and then right, we'll do 12-minute halacha, whatever. It just, you know, it'll be weird to talk this next year for 2 minutes. Okay, sure.